When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. Good news. Morning. I know you love yourself some football, Matt.
Yeah, I do.
Lamar Woodley, man, this guy's been on the Steelers, he's been on the Cardinals, been on the Raiders, won a Super Bowl. I'm a big fan. He'll be in here. James Torres will be in here as well. They host Tackle My Ride. It's produced by Michael Strahan, and even if you don't know football, you know Michael Strahan.
I know
Strahan.
Michael. We saw him in Monterey.
Oh, we did. That's right.
That's right.
And that premieres tonight at 8 p.m. on NFL Network. All right. So we'll get to that in a second. We'll bring the fellas in a moment. Let's see. First, what's going on with you in the car world?
With me personally?
Personally.
Yeah. You know, we've been on the road for, it seems, on and off for quite some time. So I was back in the shop this weekend, tooling around on the Mustang, and it's good. Eventually, I'll have it done, and you'll get your lift back. I did the fuel system, and I'm, you know, you saw me in there making all new braided lines for the system and putting in a fuel tank and whatnot. So it's moving. I'm working. It's doing good.
I saw it's a little, there's a little metaphor for life. And I tell everybody, don't ever get successful, because the metaphor for life is if you become successful and you buy a warehouse and you have a hoist, someone else's car will be on your hoist, and not for the weekend. Years will go by. Now, Matt,
my Prius is next. There's a queue going.
Matt's only, I don't know how long you've been on there. It's coming up on a year, maybe.
Yeah,
I've had a hoist back here, had a Mustang on it for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Not my Mustang. So, to be fair,
that never got worked on.
That's true. Yours gets worked on. But the point is, be careful about being the dude with the warehouse and the hoist, because it will get filled up and it will not be with your shit. That's the moral of the story. It's still better to be the guy with the warehouse.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Well, thanks for the lift.
Yeah. So, look, Matt contributes. That's fine. And we're getting another hoist going. We'll talk about that. I watched the entire Willie T. Ribbs doc with my wife.
How's it cut down to now? How much time?
It's down to 1 hour, 46 minutes. It's getting submitted to Sundance soon, like in the next day or two. I was just shouting out a few of my notes before I left edit bay before we came over here.
Yeah.
So it's getting really good. It's a really good story. I'm really into it.
When we went to our Detroit trip to screen the 24-Hour War at the Henry Ford Museum, well, obviously we weren't here, but you had Caitlyn Jenner come in with Nate and do an interview for the Willie T. Ribbs doc, right?
Yes.
How'd that go? Did you see any of that yet? I'm not quite sure how you explain.
Well, you know. I feel like here's the thing about editing. editing is sort of life, and it needs to make sense. And just like me and Max Apata are going to take another pass at a lap at Monterey and make it even better.
Yeah, we are.
Most of it is just sort of like life. Like the thing about Caitlin,
yeah,
is Caitlin just sort of shows up in the dock, and then later on we see some old footage. There's footage and color footage and cool footage of Caitlin and Willie T and Scott Pruitt and I don't know who else, and they're all like standing around the ESPN reporter like circa 1986 at Sears Point. He's going, "Well, we got a real battle brewing here," and they're kind of jabbing at each other, going, "You're going to be looking at my taillights," and like Bruce Jenner's like, "Ford's number one," or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then I have to go into the edit bay and explain that it's okay to have Caitlyn Jenner come out of nowhere in our documentary if this other stuff comes before it and there's a context.
Right.
If you just have her pop up in a ball gown in the middle of this racing dock, it's weird and confusing. And then later on, when we see the footage, that explains it, but we're still not over the trauma of why this person's in the middle of our dock.
Right.
So you can show her, but we need to see the footage leading up to her that then gives you a context so that you're not bumped. I don't know, what is this conversation I have to have with everyone when it comes to editing, which is you got to leave a little at the beginning, or you got to leave a little at the end, or you can't just go from here to there. Like, you need to come, like, it's a weird thing. I get it. It's innate. I had a conversation with someone about it, which is this. It's built into me. It comes easily to me. It doesn't come easily to others. And it makes me angry at others because it feels easy to me, but it's evidently very difficult to other people. Although whenever I discuss it with them, they always go, Yeah, I should have done that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it makes more sense. So then it makes me wonder, did they know it? Could they have figured it out? And then the bigger question is why?
So to backtrack a little bit, Caitlyn Jenner is in this because when Caitlyn was Bruce Jenner, was a racer, did quite a bit of racing, and
drove against Willie T. Ribbs when they would do endurance racing.
There's a good piece of the film that talks about the relevance of all of that, and that's why they're in there. And you know, Bruce has done the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, I believe, and back when he did the car show on Speed, he came out, and you know, you guys known each other a long time. He's a big racer guy. He loves car collecting. I remember on Speed, he had a Porsche.
Yep.
Brought a, I don't know, one of the GT cars.
His son
GT2,
races.
GT3.
I mean,
something.
Her son races.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we're allowed to call him he because we're talking about the racing.
We're talking about
school,
the Bruce Jenner.
The old school version.
Era, right?
Right. So that's one of the many things I had to sort of clean up, which is she can't just pop up. We need to have some background.
Yeah.
But the good news is, which is weird.
It's going to be good.
Drives me nuts with everybody, which is like, do we not have footage of Bruce from 1985 standing around in a fire suit with Scott Pruitt or whoever talking to Willie T. Ribbs? Like, we have it. Okay, well then,
let's use it.
Put that in, and then we'll get to this. So little stuff like that. But that's why I'm the boss, right, Max Pana?
That's right.
Yeah. It's mainly just because I give a shit. I don't think it's...
also, there was no other answer to that question.
I'll be honest. I mean, Adam and I, we've had a quite a... We spent a lot of time working on this, and it's helped infinitely.
Those are learning moments.
Yeah.
These are learning moments.
I understand everything he's saying and why.
Thank you.
It makes sense.
All right. Now, speaking of needing new employees, ZipRecruiter, man. It's tough. Sweet. You got to find someone who can edit. It's tough to find talent out there if you're starting your new business. ZipRecruiter. Post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. Unlike other sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. Over 80% of jobs posted get qualified candidates in just 24 hours, man. So over 80% find someone in under a day. No juggling emails or calls. Screen, rate, and manage candidates in one place with the easy-to-use dashboard. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/car. That's ZipRecruiter.com/car. ZipRecruiter.com/car. Try it for free. Yeah, the other part that's super rewarding about watching a doc with your family is when your wife goes, why are they using that picture of Willie T. Ribs at the beginning? They should use another picture. And I go, okay. And then she goes, I'm going to go in there and tell them to change it. And I go, okay. Can I go in there? I've been begging for you to go in there and tell them to change it for years. Yes, it'll make things easier on me if you go in. They should change that picture. Go on in. Go tell them you'd like another picture of Willie T.
Okay.
At the beginning. It'll be one less thing for me to do, although I don't think that's going to happen. But either way, there you go.
How shocked are you going to be when it happens?
It's never going to happen. But it's a good doc. You can always tell the good car docs because it's a car doc, and Lynette's not into cars, and she's totally into this documentary. So
does this feel like this is it? This is the final cut? You think it's an hour 40 something?
No, I just told them to take some out of the top and some out of the back end, and I think we'll come in at about we'll probably get about six, seven minutes out of this thing. It'll come in about 100 minutes. I think it'll be about 100 minutes. All right, so we'll keep you guys posted, but it's a good piece, and it might even make some waves because it's got a lot of timely social commentary there. All right, so what do you got, Matt, the moderator?
Well, before you bring the guys in, how about Geico?
Okay, why not?
Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off the dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, like I do for AN fittings, the most rewarding to-do do today is geico.com.
Now I'm looking at this. See, we have a problem here.
Yeah.
Which is, I'll give you guys a big issue in life. Which is, if you fuck up, you only have to do it about 5% of the time to really fuck everyone else's shit up.
Right.
You don't have to fuck up half the time. Just fuck up 5% of the time. So Dylan and Kalen. They do typos 5% of the time.
Yeah.
Not 50% of the time. But then I never know. So James Torres is coming in here as the owner of Demented Customs in Hobbs. Clifford, I don't know what Hobbs is, but is that Hobbs like it's a...
Like The Rock in Fast and Furious?
Well, maybe it's
Hobbs.
Maybe it's a word that I'm not aware of. There's a lot of cool hipster custom words. I don't know, or maybe it's a city.
It is a city in New Mexico.
Okay. So it's in custom. So it's Demented Customs. All right. In Hobbs, New Mexico. Well, there you go. All right. Well, now we got it. But if we just say he's the owner of Demented Customs, that'll probably be easier because then it'll let me know since I don't know what Hobbs is. But Hobbs could be something. That's what I'm saying.
Copy that. That's on me.
All right.
Hobbs is The Rock.
Right. Now, does he call it Demented Customs, or does he call it Demented Customs in Hobbs?
No, the Demented Customs is italicized, so you know that that's the name of the place, and then...
Oh, I'm not that smart. But then wait a minute. It is italicized?
Hobbs,
that's a
clarifier.
Yeah. In Hobbs, New Mexico, right there.
Is something I should... how come I won't read that as...
I'm not sure. I'm
not a good student. That's part of my problem.
I'm gonna go with Chris on this one.
So it's Demented Customs in Hobbs, right? I shouldn't think in Hobbs is part of the.
No, you shouldn't. In Hobbs, New Mexico is where he wrote. That seems
pretty still
accurate.
Well, what about Domestic Customs Demented. Apostrophe? Comma.
We could do that next time.
That'll help me.
All right.
No, help me because the...
Two bullet items located in Hobbs, New Mexico.
because, yes, the thing comes later on. Yeah. And I don't even know what italicized is. Is that italicized?
That's the leaning over.
Yeah.
A little slightly leaning forward.
It's nuanced.
Pretty close. Yeah. All right.
You could use quotes next time.
So, oh, yeah, quotes or something. Yeah. Anything but give me a little space. Otherwise, I'll just put it all together.
Anyway,
Demented Customs. And he's a former police officer. So he works on rebuilding cars with his sons. And we'll get all into that. Why don't I'll tell you what. We'll bring him in 1 minute. Matt, what are you working on? What do you got? What's coming up?
Well, we've got a SEMA show coming up and potentially another Trans Am race. We're still trying to put that deal together.
Yes.
And of course, that's all going to fall onto the same like handful of days to make things complicated.
Mm-hmm.
The SEMA show is like, I don't know, the end of October, like October 30 through November 2nd or something like that. It's like whatever the Tuesday through Friday is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trans Am at COTA would be like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let's say practice or something on Friday. So we'd go from SEMA directly to
the date of SEMA's what again, please?
I don't know the exact date.
It's like,
but
it's the week of October 30th, right? So October 30th.
Yeah, it's
through
Tuesday,
like
Wednesday, Thursday,
yeah.
Friday.
Okay, yeah. So SEMA would go till November 3rd, and then you'd be in COTA November 4th.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So we're trying to work that.
Yeah.
We're trying to work that out.
Yeah.
We'll keep you guys posted for
now,
that.
For the SEMA plan, we're still working on a couple of deals for that. We do know that our friends at MagnaFlow are going to have a booth there, and I'll be there with Brad and Aaron doing shift and steer. And then I know Chris and I will be grabbing some interviews running around from SEMA like we usually do, which are always fun. And I'm not sure if there's any other live shows yet, so we're trying to find out. But hopefully Trans Am we get to work out as well.
All right, Max Pata, pull up doing one lap of Laguna Seca, and I'll give you a glaring example of your bad editing. so we can.
By the way, our friends over at Burton Racing are winning. Like their team is out there with their driver and their new Camaro and their Corvette C5. They're winning classes. They got a good team.
They should enjoy it while it lasts. So I get to SEMA. We're going to put an end to that lickety split. Now, Max Pata, if you look at your cut of going through the corkscrew, right up at the top where you go through the corkscrew, you'll see that where you cut it just before you can see down the corkscrew to a back shot, which is wildly unsatisfying because the greatest part about the corkscrew is seeing yourself go up and over the corkscrew.
I've done it once.
All four tires on the dirt. And if you'd held on the shot before we went down the corkscrew, if you'd held on it for another second, you'd get to look down the corkscrew.
Right.
So you took the corkscrew, which is the biggest, iconic, sort of most exciting corkscrew or turn on arguably on any racing circuit and sort of turned it into a three or a four.
Yeah, everybody knows what it looks like. No,
you didn't show it. Well,
Chris is going to be a master of Laguna Seca by the time we're done with this.
Yeah, so we go up the back hill. We miss a shift here. We get it right. We set up for the corkscrew. Get down to the second. We start turning in, but we don't see down the cork.
Yeah.
And now we're done with the corkscrew. So you took the corkscrew and you turned it into almost nothing because we couldn't see down.
I screwed the corkscrew. I'm sorry.
All you needed was one. You literally needed
just
one more second or one and a half
seconds.
But instead, you just turned it into a left-hand turn, and then you cut into a rear shot, which you could see what was going on, but you weren't experiencing the drop in the corkscrew. Show it one more time. Just show them how unsatisfying that cut is. All right, turning in, but not seeing down, and then looking back, and then kind of coming out of it.
It still looks good, but I see what you're saying.
It looks fine, but you just took a 9 and turned it into a 4, or maybe a 5. Don't do that. Look down. See yourself going down the corkscrew.
Gotcha.
Okay.
You had it coming soon.
You got it.
Now, is that because I have some sort of special gift? No.
I mean, not.
I refuse to believe
that. No, I mean, you just shared that gift with all of us. So.
That's right. Just have it. Get that. Now, it's a thing that almost all human beings share, which is weird. An inability to sort of capture that or experience that. But I'm not sure why. But that's how everyone is wired.
It'll be learned.
I agree.
We'll learn.
To be fair, Chris knows what italics are.
That's true, and I don't know what italics are. I didn't know it meant leaning.
Like, it could be a tie right now. Could be one-to-one.
I have an assistant, though, who can tell me what italics are.
That's true. All right.
Two-to-one. He doesn't have someone who can edit for him. All right. Now, at some point, Max Brown, you're going to whack that up where you're going. You hang on it for another second and a half where you get to go down, and then you cut back.
Yeah, I want to make you feel things.
That's it. Good. Right. You make you feel
but
things.
I tell you.
Yeah, like me not feeling angry.
The footage is good. I was
the
watching another guy's.
The setup is good. Yes.
I was watching another guy's in-car footage of like a legit like full-on car that's done tons of videos, and his camera was just too high. The in-car was, it was too high to see out the window, and then the bottom was just too dark to see anything, and it was just, you couldn't see where he was racing.
It was
really bad placement. I'm like, come on!
It was,
and I wanted it to be, after watching so many of these, I was like, you just gotta lower that camera like 2 inches, and it'd be perfect. So
yes,
you got that part.
The footage and the placement is great. All right, why don't we get Lamar Woodley and James Torres, and we'll bring them in. I will tell you guys about Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I Safe, man. Last week for Simply Safe, Matt, you can turn the air on in here, yeah. Please. Last week, this is it, man. Biggest summer sale ever. $100 off the special summer package. Everything you need to protect your home and family. An arsenal of security sensors, panic buttons, blaring extra siren, and wireless connection to authorities. Your family, your home, and everything in it stays safe around the clock. No long-term lock-in contracts, no installation costs, no hidden fees. No, not with Simply Safe. These guys are smart. Protect your home today. Sale ends this week. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get your sale on. Good guys, smart guys. Peel and stick, no drilling, no pulling wires, no mess. No felons running around your house. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Lamar, put your headphones on in case we take a phone call or something so you'll be able to hear it. James Torres, Lamar Woodley in Tackle My Ride premieres tonight, as you hear this, 8 p.m. on the NFL Network, produced by Michael Strahan. We know him, and he's a car guy. We just saw him at Pebble Beach a few weeks ago.
He was kicking it in the Rolls-Royce suite down at Pebble Beach.
And what color was that Rolls-Royce?
I didn't have the Rolls-Royce with him, I don't think. But like there was this Pebble Beach as these suites on the golf course, and when all the super fancy cars are going by on the show, and you just go up there and sip champagne and eat their food. And
We need to be there then.
Yeah, you need to be there. Yeah, you definitely need to be there.
Was
if you love cars at all, you need to be at Monterey Car Week. Yeah.
When people ask me, I'm a big football fan and a big car fan, so this is going to work out perfectly. But they say, what's your favorite all-time NFL Super Bowl play? And I say Steelers, Cardinals, James Harrison intercepting that ball on the one-yard line with no time left on the clock and taking it all the way down the sideline and the craziness.
That's my favorite play,
too. Craziness. You don't know anything about football. It is a crazy, crazy play, especially because if Fitzgerald would have tackled him on the one-inch line, the clock would have been 0-0 and everyone would have gone to the locker room. You want to talk about like a 14-point swing. That was a huge play in that game. Were you on the field for that?
Yeah, actually, I was the other outside linebacker, and me and James supposed to have been rushing in on that play.
And he dropped off
in the coverage. So as I rushed in, Kurt Warner threw the ball, and I just hear the crowd just, and I can't see what's going on. I see James Harrison with the ball, and Coach LeBeau always talked about turning around and blocking somebody. Go and block somebody.
Right.
So as I'm running to block somebody, I see Kurt Warner first. And I'm like, nah, he's too old. He's slow. I can move on to someone else. So as I was going, I went and I blocked Hightower. So I pushed him. And when I turned around, James is still running. And I'm like, I'm out of breath because the Cardinals just had a long drive down the field. And I kept running. I had one last push in me, and I pushed Hightower again and fell, and James jumped over me and went in for the touchdown. And then, like, when you talked about, like, Fitzgerald would have caught him, I thank the Cardinals for blocking for us as well. You know, the coaches always say, back up from the sideline, get out the white.
Yeah.
All their players was in the white blocking the Cardinals player that was on the sideline.
Fitzgerald got off the, he got out of bounds,
right, yep.
And he started running into his own players as he's trying to run down like he's doing punt coverage, and he got pushed out of bounds. It was crazy. And yes, if Fitzgerald didn't run into his own guys who were standing along the white, the, you know, basically the 1 yard stripe that's on the side, you're not supposed to be in there. He could have made it and probably got to James by the 1 yard line, but he was running into his own guys.
Yeah.
My other, and I'm glad you talked about stopping and blocking, because I just saw it.
Look how many guys on that play.
I just saw it the other night. It's the greatest play ever. But you know what I also see in the NFL all the time? The lineman picks up the fumble and he's rumbling down the field. The defensive back, who runs a 4.3 40, is sprinting out in front of him, 10 yards in front of him, going, come on, come on. Well, he gets tackled from behind by the tight end.
Uh-huh.
And the guy in front, instead of being in front yelling, come on.
He should have been blocked.
He should have turned around and blocked somebody.
I mean, they don't practice on that.
I guess they don't practice on that.
And you know, the worst people to me, when the offensive lineman, when you, as a defensive player, if you get the ball and the offensive lineman turns into a tackler, they try to take your head off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're angry. One time I got a pick against Tennessee, and I was running. I just seen two big offensive linemen. And Chris Johnson grabbed me. I just went down right away because those offensive linemen going to try to take me out.
Well, I gotta tell you that, and you probably know this. We'll break it down, then we'll get into some car stuff.
Okay.
The offensive lineman in the NFL was the best defensive lineman in the county of his high school. Everyone plays two ways when you're in high school, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Offense sucks. Like, when you got to play offensive line, that's the worst job on the field. It's boring as hell. You want to play defense. It's fun. But at a certain point, these guys that were probably all city on defense and maybe on offense or whatever, at a certain point, they get to college and they have to declare. You want to play offensive line or defensive line? And they all want to play defense, but somebody tells them you got a better shot at the NFL if you play guard.
Right.
So they push them into this position where they have to block their entire career, but they're dying to tackle somebody because that's what they were all city in high school, and maybe even played a little defense of line in college. But once they get to the pros, you play offense. You don't go both ways. But when Lamar picks off a pass, they get to play defense,
man,
for just a second, and they're angry.
Oh yeah,
you can picked off the pass.
You can look. I was looking into those guys' eyes as I was running. I'm like, and they was just high knees. You can just hit a footstep. I'm like, oh shoot, it was two of them. Chris Johnson grabbed my just feel right down, like, oh, thanks, Chris.
You got to protect the ball, man. So, Lamar, I want to get into both stories. And James, good to have you as well.
Yeah, no, thank you.
What got both of you into cars? Start with James, get your story, and then we'll get into Lamar.
Man, I've been into cars ever since I was a kid, you know, just doing customizing stuff. I had an 85 short wide Chevy pickup when I was about 19, and I've always just customized it. And then, you know, over the years, went to work in the oil field, went to be a police officer, and I started painting and stuff cars because I wanted flames. And nobody in my small town, which I heard y'all guys trying to figure out where Hobbs is at. We're in the southeast corner.
We're not
New
sure
Mexico.
It exists. We're
not sure it's a real thing. Honestly,
it's pretty tough to find. You only end up there, you know, unless it's by accident. I mean, it's you have to be going there. So, but I started painting and, you know, doing car stereos and stuff back then. And over the years, it was always just a passion. And whenever I quit the police department, I was working narcotics and stuff. I was a single parent, trying to find something else that I could do and still be able to raise my kids at the same time. And just went into a body shop and been doing custom stuff ever since. And told the guys there, hey, you know, one of these days I'm going to have a TV show. One of these days I'm going to be like the guys on Pimp My Ride. They said I was crazy. So what's another name for crazy? When a guy said demented, I said, from now on, I'm Demented Customs. And, you know, ever since we've been making things happen.
What's it take to spray a car? And I'm asking for personal reasons because I'm thinking of, like, I don't want the full, like, I might spray one car a year, but I got a shop, but I don't want to go full, you know, full Monty with the big spray booth and all the fans and all the EPA and all the whole thing. But also, I don't want to...
ruined it now.
I don't want to put a refrigerator box around me and spray it with a rattle can. Like, is there kind of a mobile or a way to do it that's a little less impact?
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, put up plastic and stuff and they'll just drape it and they'll spray inside a homemade booth. I've sprayed stuff, you know, back in the day, helping people where a guy followed me with a car battery and a headlight because we didn't have any lights in the booth, and having to spray, or in his shop, and having to spray one panel at a time because the little compressor would run out of air.
Right.
So you'd paint the fender and let that flash and paint the door and let the compressor build up.
Wow,
so
how'd it turn out?
It was bad. It was bad. So
he was doing a really deep candy that day as well.
Yeah,
just tiger striped all over the place.
Yeah,
wherever the light was flashing, that's where it was.
It was all single stage too. That was a bad part about it. So it was even worse. Yeah.
So Lamar, your love of vehicles, where'd that kick in?
That's from walking. I did a lot of walking. But no, I got into cars probably when I was in college. Like, I'm underneath the hood. I'm not into all that. I'm just into, like, a original look of a car and, like, different cars. Like, I drive my Mini Cooper. I used to have my 96 Buick Roadmaster. Like, I'm into, like, the old looking
car. What year
is
your Mini Cooper?
It's a 2012.
Okay.
2012 Mini Cooper.
It's insane how big that car is on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Gillette. Is a huge dude. He had one.
There's a thing about big dudes and little cars.
It's easy to park. Like, when I go to the parking structure, like, if I'm going to, like, an event downtown and they got, like, that compact, everybody's in big cars. I'm right there in the front. So I'm guaranteed you a good spot on the first row.
Now, Penn had a Mini Cooper, but now he's got, like, a Leaf or something?
Yeah, he's got a Leaf.
He saw a Leaf.
He hates cars. He hates himself. Yeah, well, no, but I'm saying, like, I used to have a Mini Cooper S, and it's so big inside. It's absolutely insane. And Lamar's, Lamar's a huge guy, but how tall are you, Lamar?
I'm only 6'1".
Oh, you're only 6'1"?
Yeah, I'm just wide.
You're wide only.
I'm only 6'1". Everybody, they think I'm taller than that.
Yeah.
Well, tell them who all you had in the car the other day.
When?
When you had your dad and your cousin.
Oh, yeah. So we was in the Mini Cooper because I have the Countryman, the four-door.
Right.
It was me. My dad is like 6. My dad is 6'5". He was driving. My dad's like 6'5", maybe 240, 250. My other cousin was about 6'2". He's about 3-something. And I was in the back seat. And we was rolling.
So you're like the runt of the family.
Huh?
You're like the runt of the family, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a good... it's
a big boy.
It's a good example of engineering. Like, it's a good... The Mini Cooper is like... I remember somebody tweeted me over the weekend and said, like, worst car ever. And I said, AMC Matador from the 70s. The AMC Matador was a huge car that had no room inside.
Yeah.
Like, it was all trunk, all hood. If you find a picture of, like, a 77 AMC Matador, you guys will see what I'm talking about. Like, huge fenders, but skinny tires, like, huge everything, but, like, no room inside. Right. There's your AMC Matador. Like, imagine crawling into the back seat of an AMC. You could not get your dad and your cousin in the back seat of that, or you in the back seat of that AMC Matador. So it's got, can't park it, horrible mileage, horrible handling, and no room. Like, lose, and Mini.
Crappy car.
Mini's kind of the opposite of that. Yeah. It's just tons of room, good performance, especially if you get the S.
Good mileage. Good sound system, too. All-wheel drive. I mean, just overall, just a nice car. Like, I drive it in the winter.
Yeah, well, you got the Countryman, which is a little bigger than the all-wheel drive. You had the coupe.
I had the coupe S, but it worked fine, except for my friends calling me gay. But I was explaining to them, listen, I got the turbo, supercharger. Yeah. I got it in gray with the black roof, and I got the 6-speed. If it's automatic and it's in cinnamon and it's a convertible, then it's a different story.
I know you like the Mini Cooper GP. Chris, see if you can find the Mini Cooper GP concept car. It's like it's a design that's supposed to come out like a year. Wait to see how sick this thing is, because they're trying to go you know, they've done what, like two GPs? Like two generations of GP,
the first,
the gray with the red, with the red mirrors,
red
and stuff.
Mirrors, and no backseat, just like the sway bar, not sway bar, but the
like shock, a harness bar,
the shock tower bar that went from.
That's like a station wagon, is it?
It's the one on the left, far left.
Man, look at that.
With the it's not a good angle, but
if it's got a roof scoop,
look at that middle one there with the guy. Like, look how sick this thing is with the crazy wing and the fender flares and the vents on it.
Is that all-wheel drive?
I don't know if it is going to be. But
it's got to be. It can't just be front-wheel drive
I think it's going to be sick, though. I don't know if the real car is going to end up looking like this, but I kind of hope it does. I'm sure they'll only make a handful of them. But they've stepped up that game with the GP. They're like, let's make the Mini Cooper like a legit track performer now, like a Nürburgring kind of car. It should be kind of cool, yeah.
So, James, what is the average? You probably work on 85% American cars.
Yeah. The majority of this stuff is, you know, just restorations and stuff.
Are you doing full restorations now?
Yeah, we do full restorations. I've actually done some vehicles for mutual friends of both of ours. We did the black Trans Am that Goldberg has.
Oh, Goldberg.
The one that
there's a wide guy.
Yeah. So,
we did that one. We did a Strahan. We did a 68 GTO for Stray.
Strahan may fill the void that Reggie Jackson leaves behind. Reggie Jackson was the big car guy.
Yeah,
jock,
he still is.
And I know, but he's getting a little up there in years. And he was all about, I think, for Reggie, like a lot of Copo stuff and American muscle and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like maybe Strahan's going to slide into that role. So
what does Strahan have? Does anybody know?
He does both. He has now he's getting into the classic Ferraris and Porsches and stuff like that.
Oh, he is.
But he's got a lot of European stuff and then he's got a lot of American stuff as well.
What
but
year
he's
is the
really a car guy?
Did you say the Goldberg Mustang was a 69?
No, he had a
Trans Am. Firebird.
Firebird. Yeah. I got screwed up.
But Reggie Jackson has a great collection of engines, like rare muscle car engines, not just the cars. He does have something that's kind of unique in his collection. He's got some pretty cool, rare big blocks and stuff.
Yeah, his whole thing is American, but really rare American.
Does have the cool collection of muscle cars.
So that's where the Copo stuff comes in.
Yeah.
And that's also... He uses a baseball bat as a cane. That's interesting. Oh, no, he's probably just showing off. Okay. And also, he also has the, what is the factory invoice, whatever ones that came? What is the other acronym?
He's got Copo, and he's got the Yenko cars.
Yenko and Copo. Yeah.
And Copo is the factory acronym you're talking about.
Right. We'll figure
Yenke
it out.
Yenko was the other guy.
Yenko's the guy. Copo's the factory. Yeah. But it just, I guess the moral of the story is, if you're ordering a new car today, get it with, you know, radio delete and cloth inserts and a color that nobody else has and whatever, because later on down the road, when it comes to these old cars, like if they're talking about, you take just like a CUDA. You go, okay, here's a CUDA. Okay, this one is worth $50,000, but wait a minute, this one has the Hemi in it, and this one is a 4-speed, and this one is the only one that came in metallic silver with a black interior, and all of a sudden it's a convertible, it's $2 million now.
American muscle cars especially, like, yeah, this has got the factory 370 gear, it's only did 9 of those. I'm like, it's a gear, like, yeah, I know, but this is, if it's on the build sheet,
it's got the diff cooler, and all of a sudden it just keeps going, and going, it doesn't really, you know, Ferrari Daytona is a Ferrari Daytona. It's a great car, but they're all just $700,000 and they're all the same car. It's not like you could get all the engine
and
possibilities.
I don't think the Italians were as good at documenting all of the features. You know, like if you start restoring muscle cars, like I'm sure you do, like if you don't have the right marker marks or hash marks or chalk or whatever on the transmission or whatever, there's some judge, it's like, you don't have that mark? What do you mean? You don't have that? You're out.
Yeah, we've done some cars where, you know, the customers actually brought in a sheet to follow that this bolt has to be a specific color and has to be turned at a certain, you know, degrees and marked in a certain spot, you know, and I'm like, wow. And
with the Italian guys, it's like you get into some of the cars, the e-brake sometimes on the left side of the driver, sometimes on the right side. And we've asked many times, like, why is that? And they're like, whoever put it in just felt like, you know, maybe the guy was lefty or righty. It's whatever he's feeling that day.
Right.
And I don't think they've ever, like, documented where, like, hey, there's, you know, so many Dinos with a left e-brake.
Yeah,
right? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it's
just kind of a weird thing.
I think it's when you drink wine at lunchtime, I think a lot of stuff sort of falls through the cracks, you know, in terms
of
documentation.
You have a furnace of Chianti?
you don't sweat the details when you drink red wine for lunch. So the show, Tackle My Ride, let's talk about what's coming up, who's on it. We know Strahan. How did they did Strahan approach you guys? You approached Strahan. How did it work?
No, actually, I was approached by the production company, Left Field Productions. NFL Network was looking at making the show, and they were looking for somebody that was associated with football and cars. And our name came up, and we got to audition for it, and then we got the job. And then afterwards, they brought in Stray and stuff as executive producer of it.
Give us the format.
The format for the show itself. What it is we team up with the NFL teams and players, and we select a deserving fan to go out and customize their car for them. We're not going over the top. We're not doing anything outside of something that's going to help them in their day-to-day stuff. Just more of like, you know, a lot of customizing, custom paint, some wheels, bolt-on accessories, suspension.
We're looking at the Seahawks dually right now.
some performance modifications and stuff. You know, what it is these fans do a lot of stuff for kids in their community, and they neglect themselves.
So it's you're finding deserving people. Folks that how are they nominated? Does somebody nominate them?
Yeah, usually friends or family.
Yeah, the friends or family nominates them. Then the teams pick them. The team and player select which fan they think deserving to get their ride tackle.
Right.
And the crazy part when y'all was asking about the audition earlier, that's not how it went down with me and James. So when James was already on, so when I came and auditioned for it, we was at the NFL Network. I didn't even know who James was. So I was in the room, and we just started talking, right? We're just talking. And then I go in there by myself, and I'm doing, like, the testing with just me, just, with the camera. And then they bring James in. I'm like, oh, that was the guy I was just talking to.
Yeah.
And we, like, just hit it off. And what was that quote we said from the Ninja Turtle movie that we really, like, clicked on?
Yeah, it was because of the team.
It was a team. Because Master Splinter Turtle, Leonardo, about everybody's going to be different from the team.
Yep. Yeah.
And something like that.
Yeah, you just ruined everything we did for the last 41 minutes. Ninja Turtles.
That's what we hit it off on. It was like some Ninja Turtle stuff. We were like, oh, yeah, you seen the Turtle movie?
Yeah.
And I think another reason we passed the chemistry test is because we started talking about each other because he asked me why I have two different shoes on, because I wear two different color shoes.
Weird.
And I asked him why he wears two watches.
Oh.
Because if you notice, he has two watches on now.
Touché. Yeah.
So
I didn't think about that.
I think that was icing on the cake. They were like, hey, both these guys are demented, so we got to put them
together. Well, I'm going to tease that, but I'm going to find out in a second why two watches and why two shoes. And first, I'll tell you about Bluehost, top-rated website provider, powering 2 million-plus websites, best tool to build, host, and manage your personal or small business website. Freedom to design your site your way, fully customizable templates, and third-party app support. Simple enough for beginners and powerful enough for advanced users. True reliability, 99.9% uptime, guaranteed, and auto updates. Maximum security, malware monitoring, and protection, and automatic secure WordPress installs. You know all about this stuff, right? You should brag a little. Plus 24/7 tech support, all very important. And you can save up to 50% when you sign up at Bluehost.com/Carcast. These guys are good sponsors. You hear it here and you check it out. Bluehost.com carcast.com/carcast. All right, so two shoes and then two watches.
What's up with the shoes?
Well, a couple years ago,
you don't know you're right from
one of my other sons. Because I have four sons and then I have one daughter.
10 kids.
So yeah, Wood says I have 10 kids. So my 7-year-old, he's 7 years now, was walking out of the house one day and decided he wanted to put on two different shoes because he was being in a hurry. So the wife's like, "Why are you wearing two different shoes?" He said, "Well, today's crazy shoe day." And she got on to him for it, and he went back upstairs and changed shoes. So then the next day I started wearing two different colored shoes, and I said, "From now on, it's crazy shoe day." So now I wear two different colored shoes all the time, and it's expensive because I have to buy two pairs every time so that I can so that I can wear them. But,
because they have to wear evenly. That would annoy me if they don't wear evenly.
Yeah, you have to buy – like I have to buy an abundance of the same same style, and then I can just interchange colors as I go.
I had this thought because I got a dog. Phil's here, isn't he?
Oh, I
left him at the other shop. I got a 110-pound lab who likes to chew everything. But he chews one shoe. He doesn't chew both of them. But then I'm just stranded with the one shoe. But one shoe is as good as no shoes. But I wanted to start a shoe exchange program. Other people that had Labrador puppies could go, "Hey, I got a Skechers size 11 blue slip-on. Right. My dog got the right one. What did your dog get?" And then we could start this sort of mix and match. Yeah, I mean, in a day of Uber and Airbnb, this is the next evolution of that. Because we got flip-flops, we got tennis shoes, we got my kids, we got my wife, we got me, we got one shoe, and Phil has eaten the other shoe. But I'm sure there are other families that we could pair up with. Ooh, we should call it pairing up.
I've got a buddy that showed up at the shop. He's got Great Danes. Showed up at the shop, and he's one shoe, the back of his flip-flops, just gone. And I'm like, "Dude, what happened?" Well, the dog chews it up. He goes, "But they always chew up just one."
I know. I wish they would chew them both equally. I could sleep
at
night.
That's not going to happen.
And Lamar's got two watches. I'm guessing one's for go and one's for show.
Exactly. See, somebody finally understands.
I understand it.
He understands.
He got a gold Rolex on one. You know, it was a Submariner. What is that?
No, that ain't nothing. That's just a watch.
Oh, sorry.
it is a Rolex I had got a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But this is a phone. And see, I have to charge this up. Apple Watch.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not really a style look. This is a style look. So when I don't want to have my phone on me all the time, I just look at this. And when I want to look a little stylish, I keep this on, so I got to keep them both on.
Somebody's got to get that Apple technology into a Rolex.
Yeah,
right?
Tag does.
They do?
Tag Heuer has their smartwatch looks like a regular Tag, and you can swipe different faces onto it and screens. You can make it look traditional. You can do whole things.
Because that's where we're...
And you know who showed me? It was our friend Dan Sandberg, who's the CEO of Brembo. Mm-hmm. He's got one. He's like, "Look, I got," because he showed me at the Peterson a long ago. See, there goes a fancy tag.
We're looking at
tag.
One. Yeah, it kind of reminds
me. Not like shit on your point or anything. Like, I get the two watches.
You still got to charge that up, though. You know, it's good.
No, you do. Yeah, yeah. See, but you're saying, is there like a fancy version
of an iWatch? Here's what I'm thinking about, and maybe this could be a project for James. What I'm saying is you rebuild one of these, you know, a 55 Chevy, but the dude wants the modern sound system in the car, but you hide it. You know what I mean? Like, you'll put the thing that comes down, or you put it in the glove box, or you put the CD player over here, or you put the Bluetooth or whatever. Like, you stash it because you're trying to keep the original vibe and the original look. And I'm just saying, somebody's got to take Lamar's Apple Watch and take the Rolex and sort of shove it in the Cuisinart and have something spill out that has all the look of the Rolex but all the functionality of the Apple Watch. And right now we got it.
I would agree, but
tag.
We've been reading so much about Rolex watches recently that I'm not sure you should put them in the Cuisinart.
One, they're looking at a Paul Newman Rolex that's going off at auction. Coming up on October
26th, New York.
Is it in New York that they think may break the record? You guys want to
take a guess on what's the world record for a watch?
Not for a Rolex, just for a wrist watch.
The most expensive watch sold at auction. What do you think the world
wrist
record
watch.
Is?
It's got to be about $1 million.
$1 million, so what do you say, Lamar, James?
Well, I wear a Swatch, so I'd probably say 1.5.
Okay. 1.5. 11.1. $1 million
for a watch,
just one.
Just one.
Just one watch.
One watch. And sold in stainless steel, not in gold.
Holy. What is so special? Is it an old watch from like back in the day?
It's from the 40s, I think.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And obviously it's rare, but here's an interesting thing coming full circle to the cars and what the different options are. So it's a sort of pedestrian, kind of basic looking stainless steel watch. Your gold Rolex looks like a lot more watch than this watch. This watch, was it a Philippe something?
I think
it's a
Patek Philippe.
Right.
That's the Neumann watch.
We're looking at the Neumann
Patek Philippe
watch.
If I'm saying
Philippe,
it right,
yeah, they
it's
made
a world record
like
watch.
250 watches altogether, and like 246 of them were gold, but four were stainless. So thus, the stainless becomes worth more than the gold, not because stainless is worth more than gold, but it's more exclusive. So don't always think bigger is better or whatever. You want exclusive.
Right.
We've been doing a lot of watch research.
We've been doing a lot of watch.
Because this Paul Neumann watch is going up for sale for a lot of money. And we've got a big collection of Paul Neumann stuff. So we're trying to figure out, like, what is the watch going to affect positively, you know, the suits he has and the helmets he has and the cars he has. And, you know, obviously we're hoping yes.
And back to football, if Lamar's a student of the game, Walter Payton, I have one of his fire suits when he raced back in the day. So Walter Payton retired from football, got into automotive racing, raced with Paul Neumann and his team for a season or so. I actually have one of the cars he drove for a season.
And
the racing suit that he wore during like 89. No, probably 89, 90, something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, the car is 89, 90?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drove a couple of them. And he actually drove some sort of single-seater sort of...
I think he drove some open-wheel cars?
No, it was like Can-Am, Chevron-style one
is. The one with the hidden rear wheels and the...
Yeah, but I have
skirts on the rear wheel.
I have his Oldsmobile Cutlass Trans Am car that I think he won a race in. He was actually pretty good, and back in the day. So a little football into the racing world.
I don't know how those guys do it. I had a chance to go around like NASCAR came to, not NASCAR, but NASCAR is the ones with the tires not showing, right? What's the car?
Indy.
I just found out it was a difference. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I went on the...
Thank God you host the show
about cars.
No, but I didn't know about the Indy and the NASCAR. So I had a chance to do the first two laps around, sit in the back seat
of
the car.
Yeah, the tandem car.
And that seat was so small.
Oh, yeah.
And my knees, and I was sliding, like I had no room, so I kept sliding down like, I can't wait till this race is over. Like, I don't know how they do that. The entire race just going around.
Mario Andretti is not 6'1 and 240. I can tell you that much. And neither is Tony Kanaan and Marino.
Yeah, they're all
and Dario.
Small.
They're all like
all
my
small
size
guys. Oh, yeah. They're all small guys, and they it's the tandem car.
Yeah,
I rode in one of those too, but it didn't work right. Mario Andretti was driving it at the.
Was he sipping on Chianti
while
well, he's going
he's
around
after lunch?
He's holding it in his helmet.
Well,
a little bit.
it's a huge. I mean, if you know, if everyone's 160 pounds and you're 260, that's a major disadvantage. That extra 100 pounds, you cannot race. Like maybe NASCAR, no F1, no Indy, and probably not even NASCAR. Like
other than Tony Stewart, who's like he's
there's
got
no
a little bit
big,
of the belly, but
there's no
all...
big dudes in maybe in NASCAR. And then I don't know, like for Danica Patrick, would they add weight to the car? Because she's 115 pounds.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Rutledge Wood question.
Oh, all right, we'll talk.
And it's hot. And those suits are hot. You put that suit on, that helmet.
Oh yeah,
it was hot.
Yeah, but not as bad as two-a-days in football back in the day, right?
Well, at least you can take your helmet off in there. You're just riding around the car. Just you can't take that
you
stuff
off. You can't get
off.
Out, by the way. Like, you're in.
Right, you're in.
Where did you play your high school ball?
In Saginaw. Saginaw, Michigan at Saginaw High School.
So those two-a-days had to be pretty hot, right?
Yeah.
Practices.
And we just had one practice. We would go from 8 to 12 because our coach knew if he let us leave, we wasn't going to come back. So we just had one practice. We'll take like a little small break. We'll take a whole bunch of breaks, but we had one practice. That was it from 8 to 12.
In football, normally they have, like in the preseason, or they have these two-a-days like in high school. And the worst part about the two-a-day is it's in like August and September, and you just sweat your ass off during the morning practice, and then you're supposed to come back during the afternoon practice at like 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock, but your stuff's sopping wet with sweat.
So gross.
You're
then.
Pulling on all your gross, weird, sweaty stuff from that day.
It's they don't not have like helmet dryers like Canopus Trailer?
No, they don't have like a laundry service that comes into your high school and launders all your stuff.
You know what? Some high schools that has a lot of money has that.
Well, that was not us.
In our high school, we washed our clothes once a week, and that was just on Friday. So you wore the same jersey, everything, every day, and then on Friday, you take it home to clean it for next week.
Yeah.
So we washed our practice stuff once a week.
Yeah, it sounds a little rough.
Well, as long as we're talking about football, let me tell you about my bookie, man. When you're betting, it's important to it's important who you're betting on, but who you're betting with. Maybe even more important, mybookie.ag. They've been in business for years. Their reputation is rock solid. 100% cash bonuses and the fastest payouts. Just 2 business days. In-game, live betting, oh, that's the funnest part. It's opened up a whole new world, man. The most rewarding player perks in the business and all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. So use the promo code CARCAST to activate the offer. Right at the beginning of football season. Let's have a little fun out there, people. Visit mybookie.ag today. Mybookie.ag. Go today. You play, you win, you get paid.
I'm going to have to get involved with that.
Super easy over there. Lamar, where do you live now?
I live back in Michigan, right in Novi, Michigan. It's about 30 minutes from Ann Arbor, about 30 minutes from downtown Detroit. So home is where it's at for me.
And where do you guys shoot the show?
All over. Depends
wherever the fan
Hobbs.
Is.
And definitely in Hobbs.
In Hobbs.
And I didn't go to Hobbs this year because last year when I went, James had no air conditioning. He had one fan and it's hot as hell all day in that shop.
Yeah.
Nothing but just dust. I said, hey, James, I'm out of here, man. I'm going back to the hotel.
It was
too much.
It was 100 plus this whole time.
It was too much, man.
Can you guys tell us some of the cars that you worked on this season, or can you not reveal them yet?
Yeah, you know, we've
you're getting a thumbs up from here.
Yeah, I mean, we can indiscreetly do it. You know, we've got a E350 van for one of the vehicles. We have a Saturn.
Okay.
That we did.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we do?
Oh, we did the Expedition. I mean.
Yeah, we have an SUV that we did, a Navigator. Then we got a Honda Accord. So it varies.
You know,
it's all over the board.
And we're traveling all around the country, finding all the teams.
Yeah, we're actually going to these people's cities.
Except for the Patriots, because Belichick said, no fucking way. You're not doing anything. Take your cameras, get out of here.
They shut us down. No, actually the Patriots, Edelman, I think, had volunteered, had wanted us to try and find a fan in their area. And I just think we only did 6 episodes again for this season, so they
now,
were just
is the
limited.
Season wrapped, or can people still submit their
season,
friends and
season
family?
Season 2's done.
Season
2
is done.
Yeah,
season
so they give some good ratings, we can get season 3.
And then they can submit all the information they want.
Well, you go to the website, NFL.com/network, and tackle my ride. Name of the show premieres tonight, 8 p.m., on the NFL Network. I'll be watching. Watch Lamar Woodley and James Torres go at it. I'm going to be in Chicago, Park West, doing a one-man show. That's September 23rd. That's next Saturday, right? So in about a week, I think, is when I'll be there. Minneapolis and Nashville, and then we got live shows everywhere. And just go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're going to be and what we're doing, and we'll keep you up on all the things you need. You can listen to Matt's podcast, Shift and Steer. Subscribe to Podcast One. All that. Support the show. Check out carcastshow.com and click the Amazon banner and all that good stuff. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Lamar Woodley, James Torres, and Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast, is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.